The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The Russia collusion hoax.
President Trump has just been impeached on both Article 1
and 2. The only president of the United States to be impeached for a second time.
January 6th committee releasing its final 845-page report.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted.
Remember this, nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label. Being an outsider is fine. Embrace the label. Because it's the outsiders who change the world and who make a real and lasting difference. The more that a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead.
This is a party that wants an outsider badly.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
You must keep pushing forward. Never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit, you'll want to go home. I can't do it. I can't do it. Just never quit. You will build a future where we have the courage to chase our dreams no matter what the cynics and the doubters have to say. You will have the confidence to speak the hopes in your hearts and to express the love that stirs your souls. And you will have the faith to replace a broken establishment with a government that serves and protects the people. They're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just standing in their way. And I always will stand in their way.
Played that video for you before. We thought this would be a good day to run it again. I'm getting a little bit of feedback from myself in my headphones. Anyway, as you can see, we're set up here in the hotel room in Sarasota, Florida. Lots has happened over the last 24 hours. We're going to try to catch you up on the more significant stories. And it's amazing to just see the reaction to all of these these guilty verdicts, 34 of them, as they went through every single one on MSNBC and CNN. Count one, guilty. Count two, guilty. Count three, guilty, and so on. And of course, the regime media is just giddy with delight. This is finally it. Trump is finished. How many times have we heard this before? You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us today as we broadcast live. Yes, we are live from a remote location, and that's because of the Celtic Throne performance last night in Fort Myers, Florida. Sunday night, of course, it's in Sarasota. Before I get to the details of that, you can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com. or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. So last night we sold 1,237 tickets. We were a little concerned, however, about an hour before the show, because there was a torrential downpour and it didn't stop. A lot of the storms that come through Florida move pretty quickly, but this one kind of hovered over Fort Myers. But as it was, I think we only fell about 100 people short, 100 no-shows, that is. So in total, we had 1,136 people, which still sets a new record for the Celtic Throne performances. So we're looking forward to being up over 1,000 at least, maybe more, by the time the Sunday night show comes around in Sarasota. So a couple, I still have some feedback in my headphones, if you can, I'm hearing myself, in other words, an echo. Just a couple of things with respect to the announcement, and it came right as we were touching down at the airport, and I'll just take these off then. As we were touching down, we got the announcement, the verdict was in, guilty on all 34 counts. And as you might imagine, I mean, Trump, you look at every newspaper, I mean, this was in the lobby of the hotel here in Sarasota, Trump guilty. And people are, even though people don't read papers anymore, they're gathering these papers as a collector's item, I suppose. And it's all over the country. Donald Trump's face is everywhere. In a lot of ways, for him, this is a good thing. This is free publicity. And he's been getting it now for years. But then you look at some of the numbers, the money that's come pouring in. He had a press conference just about an hour ago at Trump Tower in New York City. And it was a bit of a rehash on how unfair the whole proceeding was. But he said that over the course of like 10 hours, $39 million came in from small money donors. So like $10, $20, $30, $40 coming in from all over the country. $39 million in just a few hours' time. Even as we were leaving the show last night, some of the work staff there were just kind of grumbling about the news of the day. In fact, we heard, my wife and I heard a little bit of that, even as we were sitting and watching the show. So it's weighing heavily on people's minds, and they see that at least the ones where I know we're in a red state. This is Florida. This is maybe a good state to perform in, given the circumstances. But still, people are so angry. People are so upset. But when you look at the positives of this, and I mean, we know what's prophesied in America under attack, and we know that Donald Trump is coming back. And we also know that all of these attacks, these relentless attacks on Donald Trump since 2015, that they've backfired every single time. How will this one backfire? How will this one backfire? As I said, Trump's face is everywhere. This was the worst possible case. It had no chance, except that you had a dirty prosecutor. You had a Joe Bama DOJ guy, Colangelo, that comes in to breathe life into this case. You had a corrupt judge, and then you had a Manhattan jury. Donald Trump won, I think, 12% of the vote in Manhattan in 2020. So they had to have the right venue. You try this case in any other state, even with the corrupt judge. And yesterday on the show, I went through all the parameters that the judge said, the instructions that the judge gave, the incoherent instructions that the judge gave to the jury. And you can only imagine how much pressure was put upon the jury, whether indirect or directly. Who knows? How did Mershon even become? He's an acting judge, and there's a pool of 24 actual judges. And somehow, some way, with all three Trump cases, as I said on yesterday's show, he's the judge that's randomly selected. This was a setup from the beginning. Trump knows it, and two-thirds of America knows it. Of course, there's a third that absolutely hates Donald Trump. And you can't reason with them. This is waking some people up. Some of the tweets I saw yesterday, Tucker Carlson, for example, said that this basically locks in Donald Trump to win the election in November 2024, assuming he isn't killed. That's from Tucker Carlson. Sean Davis over at The Federalist said that, hey, if you're running for office as a Republican, you might as well set aside all the normal talking points and just say, hey, this is what I'm campaigning on. If I get in there, I'm going to work to put these Democrats in jail, to hold them to account. In a way, it is unifying the Republican Party. In other ways, you have the same usual suspects that have gone silent. Nikki Haley, no comment. She's over in the Middle East, I guess. Lots of Republicans in Congress just kind of keeping quiet. Where, like Steve Bannon said earlier this morning, where are the subpoenas? What we'll get from this is maybe a strongly worded statement. Well, we got a few of those last night. Outside of that, this is one area where Donald Trump actually has some power, the Republican majority in the House. But they won't do anything. I mean, for a year and a half, they've had the majority, and they haven't done anything on the impeachment front of Joe Biden and his corrupt crime family. And now this happens yesterday. And where are the men of courage to step up and say, all right, we're going to subpoena this daughter of Mershon? She's conflicted. The judge obviously is conflicted. We're going to look at Colangelo coming out of the Dear Leaders DOJ. We're going to subpoena the communications between Alvin Bragg and Joe Obama's White House. Where are those subpoenas? Where are the hearings? They may not get much traction legally, not while Joe Obama's still in control of the White House. But you can make some people sweat a little bit, particularly if they know that Donald Trump is still likely to come back. This is from PJ Media. It says, if you were outraged by the bogus verdict from the bogus Trump trial and decided to donate money to Donald Trump's campaign, you were not alone. Trump's donation page was apparently so overwhelmed after the verdict was announced that it crashed. There was some other well-known celebrity, I forget his name, but he tweeted out that I just donated $300,000 to the Trump campaign. And then the donation page crashes because there's so much traffic, because people across America are outraged. They can't believe that this is actually happening. How many commentators, we've been noting this for the last year or two, but you heard everyone pretty much yesterday, at least on the conservative side, saying, this is, America's been transformed. This is not the America we grew up in. We're witnessing fundamental transformation. We're witnessing a Marxist takeover. That's America Under Attack. That book came out as a little booklet first in 2013. And look at where we are today. Tomorrow's news today, as we often say with respect to the Trumpet magazine. If you're not a subscriber, make sure that you call our operators or go to our website, thetrumpet.com. Get your free one-year subscription to The Trumpet and order America Under Attack as well. It says here, it's quoting House Speaker Mike Johnson. Where's the action, though? Today's a shameful day in American history. Well, he's right about that. What's he going to do about it? He's leading a Republican majority. This is over at the Los Angeles Times. Basically, this is the LA Times saying that this is only going to make Trump stronger. You think the Democrats' heads were exploding? I mean, that Politico piece last week said as much, that they're worried. Should we shove aside Biden? Should we get someone else new in? I mean, this is not working. And then they're all giddy with delight last night. But how long is that going to last? It says here they finally got him. Not on Russia collusion, Ukraine phone calls, January 6 riots, classified documents or mean tweets. They finally got Donald Trump after everything on filing the wrong financial sex story cover-up paperwork. An NDA, as he explained this morning over at Trump Tower. He said, you know, they want to call it hush money, this or that. NDAs are legal and they're common. I've got a story from 2017. We've gone through it before, showing just how many people in Congress sign NDAs all the time, or offer NDAs, or pressure, you know, individuals to sign NDAs because they're involved in some shady behavior. Maybe that's why they're not so vocal in Congress. Maybe that's why they don't come forward so quick to defend Donald Trump. It says here, who but Donald Trump could even be indicated for such a thing, or sorry, indicted. That's the word for the day. That's the word for the year. Who but Donald Trump could even be indicted for such a thing? As CNN's Fareed Zakaria said a few days ago, and we played this clip for you if you remember, I doubt the New York indictment would have been brought against a defendant whose name was not Donald Trump. Joy Reid said the same thing last night. She said, I'm so glad that this was in the New York venue. If this was in Georgia, it wouldn't have worked. We wouldn't have gotten the conviction. But thankfully, it was in New York. She knows. They all know. They all know you need either the Manhattan jury or you need the Washington, D.C. swamp jury. Otherwise, you get no conviction. Instead, they got 34. One on top of the other. I think Trump said this morning it's something like, what, 150 years in prison? That's what, and to hear commentators, even on Fox, go on last night about how that, well, okay, they got the convictions, but, he's 78, he has no criminal record. Surely the judge is not going to send him to prison. Oh, yes, he will. Look at what they've done thus far. People need to wake up. Those that say, okay, this happened, but let's not get too worked up about it because surely this judge has some sense. No, he doesn't. He's an activist. He's got get Trump on the brain. And you know Alvin Bragg's going to waltz into the courtroom on July 11th. That's when the sentencing hearing happens. And as it happens, that's 4 days before the Republican National Convention. How convenient. Every step, it's so calculated, every step of the way.
We had some technical difficulties there. Apologize for that. I was taking you through a few statements from this Los Angeles Times piece where they're acknowledging, hey, how this is going to make Trump stronger. This journalist says here, it's jarring to hear CNN's Jake Tapper go through one guilty verdict after another 34 times. And then it says here, and it was equally jarring to see text after text pop up on my phone from decidedly non-MAGA Republicans, but also not never Trumpers, all sounding the same note. I don't like this man. And now I think I have to vote for him. See, Americans know in their heart of hearts that this is just terribly unjust. It's so unfair. And they're saying, I don't like him, but I've got to vote for him. It's helping him. It's empowering him. It's already backfiring. The rest of this piece says, lest you think that's just anecdotal or a sign that Scott has weird friends, the Trump campaign reported a deluge of online contributions in the minutes following the verdict crashed their system. So the campaign donations are pouring in. Donald Trump's getting publicity. He's on every newspaper all around the world. And he's going right back to work. That's what's incredible as well. He gets this terrible news yesterday, and then he's right back at it this morning. Maybe before we talk about the New York Post piece and his news conference this morning at Trump Tower, here's what Donald Trump had to say yesterday outside the courtroom after the guilty verdict was announced. Clip two.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA and the whole thing. We didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end and we'll win because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
It's okay. I'm fighting for my country, says Donald Trump. He acknowledged this morning in the Trump Tower speech that he doesn't enjoy it, but he's honored to have this role to fight for the Constitution, to fight for the United States. He gets this dreadful news yesterday, and then the New York Post piece says Trump getting straight back to work, warns Biden to buckle up as he hits campaign trail after guilty verdict. Biden was, he was on vacation. I think he was just returning to D.C. this morning. He was away in Delaware. Trump gets this news in court, and then he's got the press conference this morning, Friday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time. This New York Post piece, it says Donald Trump plans to immediately return to work Friday, a day after becoming the first ex-president ever convicted of felony criminal charges, while warning President Biden to buckle up now that he can focus on the campaign trail. You better buckle up. You better get ready. He's ready to campaign. Joe Biden is not. I mean, they do have the debate coming up at the end of June. You even have to wonder, I haven't given a lot of thought to this, but you have to wonder about all of these dates, just how confident the Biden people were this week, talking about sending out the Biden team to the court of all places to use that as a campaign rally, basically, to reveal the fact that this is lawfare and we're proud of it. And then Biden and his people, they were talking about having an Oval Office speech. I guess that never did go through, but still. And then the rush to have a debate in June, which is very early. They're never held that early, but to have the debate. And then, of course, we now know he's going to be sentenced on July 11th. And then there's the RNC convention. That's on, I think, July 15th. They're trying to keep him from campaigning. And yet still, his face is everywhere. He's ready to get to work. Says here the former president, 77, is scheduled to speak at 11 a.m. Friday. So that happened just a little bit earlier today. His campaign also had a warning for his 2024 rival. Crooked Joe Biden and the Democrats confined President Trump to a courtroom for more than 8 hours a day for more than 6 weeks. And he's still winning, Trump campaign spokeswoman Carolyn Leavitt said in a statement to Fox News. He's still winning. The Daily Mail says he's up 6 points in the polls. Rasmussen, I think, is even more favorable. It's incredible what's happening. It's an unstoppable force. It's like that cold open we played. That comes from Make America Great Again, Inc., I think it is. And as I said, we've played it before. But here's a man with the courage to fight, with the courage, the fortitude, the steadfastness to continue on. You can see why, that he inspires his sons the way that he does. They were there with him in court through most of it, if not all of it. A family that stays together, a family that goes forward for the country. It says, now that he is fully back on the campaign trail, Biden and the Democrats better buckle up. That's from the campaign spokesperson. The campaign rep added that the presumptive Republican presidential nominee was still able to generate billions of dollars in media coverage throughout the high-profile trial. All of these left-wing reporters just flowing into the courtroom every day. They couldn't get enough of this. They loved it. They practically worshipped the prosecution team. You saw that in the press conference with Alvin Bragg yesterday as they yucked it up together. Bragg and his prosecutors, the regime media, they're just joking, they're laughing, they're having a good time. Listen to the regime media. It's just skipping ahead to this montage that we put together. Their reaction, again, that they're putting their political opponent in prison. That's what they want. And then they're talking about Donald Trump as if he's the threat. He's the problem. This is clip 8.
Listen, it's a unanimous jury verdict, unanimous on all counts. This is a definitive and, you know, this is an irreducible verdict. He can appeal. I'm sure he will appeal. But this is everything that the prosecution asked for from a jury that, by all accounts, took this thing very, very seriously. The test for us now as a country is whether or not this former president and his allies will have succeeded in trying to undermine the rule of law so that people reject this as a legitimate function of the rule of law in our country. They have tried to delegitimize this judge. They have tried to delegitimize this court. They have tried to delegitimize these proceedings. They've even tried to delegitimize the laws that he was charged under. Those efforts are the test that we now have as a country. The people involved in bringing this case have been threatened and intimidated and had everything brought to bear on against them in a way that was designed to delegitimize this process in the eyes of the American people.
And Donald J. Trump's reaction to the guilty verdict was, once again, he's already demeaned and destroyed much of our electoral process by saying it's rigged and corrupt. And now he took on the rule of law. He took on the definition of justice itself by saying this verdict was corrupt and it was rigged and it's a rigged system. Well, if he was correct in both his assertions that the electoral process is rigged and corrupt and that the judicial process is rigged and corrupt, then there is no more America.
If the Republican Party is allowed to and succeeds at waging war on the legal system because of this case, because of this defendant, because of his criminal liability, do you think that they uphold the legitimacy of the legal system for all other cases and all other defendants? No. If they tear it down and they are allowed to physically intimidate the people in the system and get the American people to not accept the legitimacy of this court's finding because it's their guy who's been targeted by it, that's the end.
Right. Donald Trump's the one. He's the problem. He's the one bringing democracy down. These people, I mean, the total lack of self-awareness as they go on and on about how he's attacking the electoral process. He's now going after the rule of law. You must accept what this jury puts forward. Never mind the way that the judge framed everything. Never mind that the case never should have even come forward. It didn't come forward seven years ago. That's when it should have, as Donald Trump keeps saying. But they just put it on the shelf. And then when he announces re-election, couple months later, here comes Colangelo out of Joe Bama's DOJ to get this up and running. You've got Alvin Bragg in place. He campaigned on the Get Trump theme. Of course, it's an attack. War in 24, lawfare. And now all of the Marxist radicals, they're gloating. They're gloating. It makes me think of what Mr. Armstrong wrote about Genesis 3, Herbert Armstrong, where he said that after Adam and Eve took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that Satan must have gloated. He was so excited. He thought this was easy. I deceived them so quickly. But Satan didn't know that God's purpose still stood. That God was moving forward with his purpose and his plan. Listen, Satan is hard at work, even now, trying to blot out even the name of Israel. And these talking heads, these Marxist radicals, they're so excited right now. But just wait until the tables turn. Wait until this backfires. Speaking of their excitement level, listen to Alvin Bragg and the regime media from the press conference yesterday. This is clip 5.
Many people said the prosecution was masterful and flawless. Just want to know how you feel at this moment. Sorry.
I'll let you go ahead.
How do you feel?
Mr. Steinglass, I think some of you probably saw him speak for a little bit the other day. So he's done his job.
They all have a good laugh. Imagine being a reporter with virtually nothing going on upstairs and asking, it's been said that the prosecution was masterful and flawless. What's your response to that? And then Mr. Bragg, I guess they have some kind of inside joke with the prosecutor next to him. And then they have a good laugh. They're laughing. You know who else is laughing? China is laughing. Russia is laughing. They know all about these strong arm tactics. They know all about kangaroo courts, believe me. So they're behind closed doors even now. And they think this is hilarious. They know America's under attack. They see it. And they know it's a sickness that's just getting worse and worse and worse, just as your Bible prophesies, Isaiah chapter 1. Read it. Read it. Read Isaiah 3 as well. There's a sickness through and through, head to toe, as the prophet Isaiah says. And that sickness really and truly is being exposed. I mean, my father in America Under Attack and some of the other writings at the Trumpet magazine, he talks about how that God allowed for the steal to happen in 2020 so that we could just blow the lid off of all this corruption. And now it's so plainly visible. You see it. Donald Trump sees it in ways that he certainly didn't see it in 2019 and 2020. Earlier this week, remember I played you that clip. He was on one of the talk shows where he said that, yeah, I made with my two AG appointments, I made a mistake. They were the wrong guys. I should have known better. I mean, you don't hear Donald Trump admitting or confessing error quite like that. Not very often. But he knows. Now he knows. It makes you wonder, what kind of attorney general is he going to appoint when he comes in the second time? That's what they're afraid of. That's why they're trying to put him behind bars. That's why this lawfare carries on from every angle. They've got to destroy Donald Trump. They've got to get Donald Trump. There was another article here. This is from PJ Media, just talking about basically the consequences. I mean, what happens now going forward, given what happened yesterday? You had all these people tweeting out, I mean, May 30th, that's going to be a day that lives on in infamy. I think General Mike Flynn said, remember this day. Today he tweeted out the upside down American flag. You're seeing that all over Twitter these days, or X. I mean, people know America's in trouble. America needs help. There's danger signs all around. It's being attacked. We can't plug that book enough, America Under Attack. I mean, that's what got General Flynn's attention. And what led to our meetings with him and the interviews that we've had with him over the past year. Over at PJ Media, it says, we've crossed the Rubicon. There's no way to walk back what Soros DA Alvin Bragg, Judge Mershon, and a Manhattan jury did today. It will reverberate beyond Trump's much more likely now second term. This is just making it more likely that he comes back. You see, they may gloat. They may laugh. They probably had plenty of cocktail parties last night. But just wait. We're still 5 months out. There's still another 6 weeks before the sentencing. There's the debate before that. There's a Democrat party, by the way, that's in some bit of turmoil because the Biden re-election campaign, it just can't get any traction. It's going to be a fascinating 5 months to watch. This article here says, leftists far and wide are celebrating Trump's conviction with no understanding of how perilous this is for our country. You see, they don't care about the country. They care about power. They care about holding on to power. They're not concerned about Americans. Who would, like Trump keeps saying, I mean, who would just open the southern border? Who would just make it wide open so that millions could stream in? Military-aged men, as Donald Trump said at the Trump Tower speech earlier today. Who would do this? If you really loved your country, they don't love their country. They love themselves, they love their party, and they love the power. They love the power. I saw, by the way, Joe Manchin, he's stepping down at the end of this year anyway. But he's basically said, I'm gonna be an independent now. I mean, he's looking at what, he's not a full Republican, I guess, but still, he's looking at what the Democrats are doing. There should be people like that all over the country saying, what is going on? This is not the Democrat Party of JFK. Far from it. The Marxist radicals have taken the party over. And look at what they're doing with their power. It says here, for the first time, a former president of the United States has been convicted of a felony. It was a setup from the start. Lawfare for political purposes, and nothing about it remotely resembled a fair trial. And half the country is okay with it. Well, I wonder if half is. I think it's probably less than that. That's why there's so many people swinging over into the Trump camp. Because they're beginning to see. They don't follow the ins and outs of these trials like maybe we would on this program or some of the other talk shows. Most Americans are just, you know, they're busy. They're having they go to work and they watch a little bit of news, I suppose, here and there. But now you have Trump's mugshot, so to speak, all over the world. Again, I mean, he had the actual mugshot not that long ago. Now he's on the front page of every newspaper around the world, even. Billions of dollars of publicity, tens of millions of dollars pouring into his donation campaign. And more people saying, I don't like him, but I got to vote for him. It says here, from this day forward, every Republican president and Congress member will have to fear being hauled into court by the Democrats, and it won't be an irrational fear. Who would want to run for office knowing what awaits them? See, it's like Trump keeps saying, it's not, you heard it in the cold open. They're not after me, they're after you. And if they can get rid of me, then they're going to come after you. That's why you would hope, you would think that more people in Congress would develop a backbone and say, you know, we've got to do something. We've got to stand against this. Trump's our first line of defense. After him, they're coming for us. But they're too weak. We'll see that in just a second. It says here, remember the left's biggest complaint about Trump in the early days of his presidency? They wept and gnashed their teeth whenever he acted outside the box, claiming he violated presidential norms. This is not normal, they lamented over and over again. Now we know it was all projection. This is exactly right. None of this is normal, and we cannot accept it as the new normal. We can't accept it. This was all projection. They're guilty of exactly what they accuse their enemies of. Listen to Judge Jeanine from Fox News yesterday, clip 3.
They don't even know what the crimes are until we get to the charge to the jury, as if the prosecution and the judge, with a wink and a nod, said, hey, I'll give you that old accomplice testimony. Even though we didn't charge Donald Trump with aiding and abetting anyone else, I'll throw it in as a matter of law. He's an accomplice. And I'll throw in those federal election violations. So they'll have to say, yeah, Donald Trump must have done it too. And I'll throw in a hooker and a guy who's a serial perjurer. This is lunacy. And I think that any red-blooded American who sees this is going to understand this isn't what we do to our political enemies. This is what they do in kangaroo courts and third world countries. God help America after what I've seen in the last few weeks.
America is going to need help from God. You think about that prophecy in 2 Kings 14, where it says God intervened. He saved Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. God does work through individuals. He works through Jeroboam. But only God could save America. And as we know, as you know, if you've read America Under Attack, it's just temporary. I mean, our sins, the sickness, as I said earlier, head to toe, that's really what we need to confront. I mean, you need to confront the communist left for sure. But we also need, as an entire nation, we need to confront our sins, face our sins, look at ourselves in the spiritual mirror, like it says at the end of James 1, and see what needs to be cleaned up, and see what needs to be purified, and see where we need to be made holy. We've drifted so far from God. I mean, in all of this fighting and this division and strife, where is God? God's been pushed away into a little corner somewhere. I mean, of course, a lot of people don't even let him reside in a corner. They just want him out of their lives entirely. God's pleading with us. God's trying to get our attention. But you see more and more commentators sounding the alarm like like the one you just heard there. Listen to Molly Hemingway. She's at the Federalist, but this was on Fox yesterday as well, clip four.
One of those things that we used to think separated us from the Soviet Union is that we didn't do these kinds of show trials.
Yes. But now we're doing them. So what does that say? What does that say about the United States today? And what does that say, by the way, about the communist infiltration of the United States? I was just talking to the crew in the car last night about he was right. And all those quotes that we have in that brochure, if you don't have a copy, make sure you call our operators or go to the Trumpet.com website and get a free copy of He Was Right. Herbert Armstrong was talking about the communist attack on the United States back in the 1940s or 50s. I mean, that's 80-some years ago. And all of the receipts are in that chapter of He Was Right. There's a lot more in America Under Attack as well. But way ahead of his time, he saw where it was leading. He saw these communist insurrectionists way back in the middle of the 20th century and what they were doing to academia and what they were doing to government and CIA and the FBI and the DOJ. And now look at where we are today. I mean, those agencies, they've been so thoroughly weaponized. And it's been made all the worse by the dear leader during those first two terms. I have another article here about what, you know, another term for Biden means. Maybe I can skip ahead to that if I can find it. This is from American Greatness. And it's about the Biden reelection and how really it's the whole point of this reelection campaign is to continue the Obama revolution. It's a revolution. It's fundamental transformation. I heard a podcast just this morning. The guy was saying America's been transformed. We're never going to be the same. We're never going to be the same. His solution was to basically, we've got to pull the gloves off and use the weapons that they're using against us. And you heard Sean Davis at the Federalist saying the same thing. The only way they're going to stop with this is we're going to put Democrats in jail. So, you know, it makes sense to a red-blooded patriot. But is that really going to solve the problem? Will that bring peace between the two sides? I mean, their heels are dug in. You see it here in Florida. They're not happy with what's happening in Manhattan. This is a red state. You get a blue state. They're cheering. They're celebrating. They're laughing at press conferences. It says here, given the realities of the past 3 years of the Biden administration, this article expands on the thesis we have made in these pages that the American presidential election of 24 will be the most important since 1860. Further on, it says here, at root, this radical neo-Marxist revolution started under the Obama administration with the declaration to fundamentally transform America, and has continued under the Biden administration, which has implemented and executed the tenets of that revolution across all aspects of the U.S., our government, and against the citizenry. This has taken many forms, but the most important has been and continues to be the permanent weaponization of government against political opponents to cause their defeat. That's not the Trumpet.com that I'm reading to you from. That's American Greatness, but it's exactly what we've had in the pages of America Under Attack for some years now. America's being attacked from within, and the sickness, the cancer is spreading. And as I said, our enemies in Russia, in China, in the heart of Europe even, they're seeing what's happening to America, and they too are laughing, and they too are cheering. They know it's killing us from within. What happens when the attacks come from without? Well, those attacks wouldn't happen if America was strong, if America was still the lone superpower in the world. But we're seeing that change, and it's changing fast and dramatically so. You think of the other text that we refer to so often, the United States and Britain in Prophecy. If you don't have a copy of that, make sure that you go to our website or call our operators. That's the classic prophetic text, or textbook, you could say, penned by Herbert Armstrong again, back in the 1940s and 50s. What is prophesied for this nation, the United States? Put that together, the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. Put it together with America under attack. Just one more section that I want to get into here with respect to the weaknesses all around Donald Trump in the Republican Party. Again, there's, like I said at the start of the show, I mean, there's some that are very angry now, that are calling for heads, that say we've got to respond in kind. But every time something this momentous happens, I mean, it's just it's almost silence coming out of Congress, the Senate and the House. It's really unbelievable to watch. And, you know, for his part, even Donald Trump, instead of coming out in Trump Tower this morning and kind of rehashing some of the things he's said outside the courtroom over the last 6 weeks, he does keep saying the real verdict is going to be on November 5th. And that's true to some extent. But what if they steal it? What about today? What should Mike Johnson and Jim Jordan and James Comer do today? What could they do today if they had the courage to just step forward and confront this beast? But they won't do it. I guess Jim Jordan did send out a tweet saying that he's asked for, I forget if it's with Colangelo or Bragg or whoever. But where are the demands? You have all of these conflicts of interest. And Congress has some congressional oversight power, but they won't use it. Usually it's a strongly worded statement. Maybe, like that one quote I gave to you earlier, maybe they'll have a hearing, and then that'll be the end of it. Again, you can see why they fear Donald Trump so much, because if he doesn't make a mistake this time around with his attorney general appointment, it may be that the tables turn and that Democrats are finally held to account. This is from The Federalist. It says here, former President Donald Trump was convicted Thursday by 12 jurors in a Democrat-dominated New York City for a crime no one can articulate that was brought by a George Soros-funded district attorney and overseen by a Biden donor. The judge donates to Biden. I think he donates to this group that says we've got to oppose Republicans. He makes no bones about his political leanings. They're not even leanings. He's a full-fledged radical. So you've got the Biden donor who's presiding over the case. You've got the Soros-funded district attorney. You've got the Joe Bama DOJ guy, Colangelo, coming in to help. Then you've got the porn star and the convicted perjurer. There you go. A perfect case. In the case, it's revealed that Cohen stole money from Donald Trump. Tens of thousands of dollars. An actual crime. No indictments for him, though. And yet Donald Trump, he's convicted for what? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And that's why the judge and his jury instructions had to say, hey, you decide what the crime is. If you have 12 different opinions, that's fine. But if you're all in agreement that he did commit a crime, then convict. And they did. They did. Third world lawfare. That's what it is. It says here, but the conviction, listen to this from The Federalist. The conviction wasn't just an indictment of Democrat lawfare. It was an indictment of how feckless Republican leaders have become. The article says here, as radio host Michael Berry quipped in a post on X, the sham verdict in New York probably made some Republicans in Congress so mad that they'll even consider holding some hearings. How about that? Wow, that's another strongly worded statement. They're going to consider holding some hearings. The Federalist says here, it's funny until it's not. It's not funny. It's pathetic. It's a disgrace, as Donald Trump often says. Republican leaders have remained largely tight-lipped about Democrats' anti-Trump lawfare, despite holding the House and control of several states in which Biden surely could be brought up on charges pertaining to the porous border or defying the Supreme Court, but Republicans did and continue to do nothing. This judge, Judge Mershon, his daughter, she's got all these dealings where she's just raking it in with her Get Trump movement, totally connected to her father's case against Trump, together with Bragg and all them. She's got a business in Florida. Florida's a red state. If Florida had an AG, like New York has an AG, who's deep, dark blue, let's suppose, I don't even know who the Florida AG is, but if it's bright red, where's the courage to say, hey, we're going after this conflict of interest? She has business dealings right here in our state, right here in Florida, but they won't do it. They won't do it. It says here, take for example, the belated and worthless response from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. These charges never should have been brought in the first place. I expect the conviction to be overturned on appeal. That's all he said. That's it. The Senate Minority Leader McConnell is right in that the charges never should have been brought. So then why did Republican leaders sit on their hands for a year while Bragg devised his lawfare campaign? Why didn't they look into some of these conflicts of interest? Why didn't they look into this case, turning a misdemeanor into a felony, when you've got all these New Yorkers committing felonies on the streets, and then they're let out of jail the next day? This has been brought out before by Trump over and again outside the courtroom. Says when McConnell finally spoke about the lawfare, he called for increasing funds for federal law enforcement agencies. Well, this last story, I don't have time to get into it, but it's that old piece from 2017, and we've gone through it before, and it's about all the NDAs that are signed right in the halls of Congress. Congress paid out $17 million in settlements. Here's why we know so little about that money. Bill Clinton paid Paula Jones, I think her name was, $850,000. Trump pays $130,000 and he's going to jail for what? Well, we'll see on July 11th. Clinton does it. Hollywood actors do it. People in Congress do it. And they do it on the taxpayers' dime. So how about that? As I said earlier, maybe that's why they're so quiet. When the shocking news comes out, an ex-president, the only time it's ever happened in history, charged with all these felonies, guilty on 34 counts, and the other side just laughing away. Well, we have more here, but we are out of time. I want to save a few minutes here to conclude today's show with our weekly World Watch segment, so that we can keep you right up to date with other news that's happening around the world. We'll finish with the World Watch on today's show. Thanks for joining us.
China began conducting punishment military drills surrounding Taiwan on May 23rd in response to new Taiwanese President Lai Ching-te's inauguration speech. Lai is one of the most anti-China presidents in Taiwan's recent history. In his speech, he emphasized Taiwan's independence, sovereignty, and commitment to democracy. The Chinese Communist Party claims sovereignty over Taiwan and deems Lai's election and inauguration as separatist acts. These Joint Sword 2024 aid drills simulated a full-scale attack on the Taiwanese islands, testing Beijing's readiness for war. The ominous A in the drill's name indicates there could be more to come after the end of the drills. Based on prophecies about Russia and China's leading roles in a powerful end-time Asian military alliance and related passages about American weakness, the Trumpet has long warned that Taiwan will fall to China. To learn more, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flurry's article, Taiwan Betrayal. Ireland, Spain, and Norway announced on May 22nd that they will formally recognize a Palestinian state this week. Slovenia, Malta, and Belgium indicated they might do the same. The three nations argue that the only possible political solution to the Israel-Palestine conflict is to have two states living side by side. In response, Israel ordered the immediate return of Israeli ambassadors from the three countries. out of the 193 United Nations members, 144 already recognize Palestine as its own state. This explains why the UN Council dedicated a minute of silence to the late Iranian president Ibrahim Raisi, nicknamed the Butcher of Tehran. On October 7th, the world seemed set to rally around Israel. Now it's rallying against them. To learn more, read The Enemies of Jerusalem. China is sending large amounts of lethal aid to Russian forces invading Ukraine, British Secretary of State for Defense Grant Shapps said on May 22nd. He said Britain has evidence of China selling significant quantities of sanctions-violating combat equipment to Russia, but declined to reveal specifics. The news comes as Russia wages a new offensive in the northeast of Ukraine, pummeling the nation's second-largest city of Kharkiv with glide bombs and missiles. The significant level of support China provides to Russia's illegal war effort has caught some unawares, particularly since it violates sanctions and jeopardizes the Western trade that China's economy relies on so heavily. But the trumpet has warned for decades that Russian-Chinese cooperation would increase, to the detriment of world peace. To learn more, read Asia Still Stands with Putin. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.